Lord, thank you, Lord. Well, good morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? All the time. All the time to His people. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone here. And we just pray that the Spirit of God would just touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last week we picked up $1,339.03. And so we want to thank you for being faithful in giving. And we certainly do appreciate it. And we ask that God would just touch your heart and touch your life and just bless the people. Bless Him. You know, it says in Scripture, give and it shall be given. As we give, God gives back unto us all the things that we need, want, and desire of our hearts. And so we just thank Him for being faithful. And thank you for being faithful also. Just a matter of note, May 5th, I know you probably saw it in your bulletin, but on May 5th, that's 2 weeks from now, we're going to be in that other building over there. So, amen. Amen. We're excited. You know, the chairs came in. They were put together and all that stuff. And we placed them basically kind of how we wanted. And so things are really shaping up. And so we're excited about what God is doing. What God is doing in us and in this community and in this area. And so continue to pray that God's Spirit would just be there and God's anointing would be upon that place, that as people come in, that they will be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Spirit of God would be upon them. And you know, we're excited. I mean, you know, it's just an exciting thing to see where we started and where we're going. And that's not the last building. You know, God's going to do many, many, many things. And so, you know, you just take it step by step, you know. Step by step. Is this ringing? A little bit. It's ringing. Oh, what's that? I'm sorry. Oh, Lord. All kinds of things. All kinds of stuff. But that's okay. You know, God knows what needs to happen. And, you know, when God opens up things, there's a greater anointing that comes. Always. Always. When God instructs, you know, by the Spirit of God to go in a certain direction and to do things, a greater anointing comes upon the pastors, upon the people, upon the church as a whole. So I tell you what, be ready, because God is going to move mightily. And I know we've seen some mighty things already, and just, you know, what God is doing in all of our hearts and lives, and, you know, just working in us and doing a mighty work. But I tell you what, we're going to see some great things, people. Great things. Great things. You know, we just need to continue to pray, to seek Him, to honor Him, and let God move. Amen. Let God move. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today, as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, page 722. This we're going to be reading some scripture, just a few of them, about the temple that was being built. And then we'll get around some other stuff. But about the temple that was being built and how God had instructed David to do certain things to help his son to fulfill the goal or the mission that God had set out for him to do or to build the temple. In verse 1 it says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great." So you see, every time God calls us, and I'll just, this is a sidebar, every time God calls us to do something, he considers it a great work. The work is great. That means he's saying that you and I can't accomplish it, but he can accomplish it. He can do it through us. The work is great because he, you know, he was young and tender, it says. That means he didn't have wisdom. He was young, you know. But you see, in a young, somebody that's young, they have the strength to do certain things that an older person can't do, you know, as far as strength-wise. But the older person has wisdom that the younger person doesn't have. So when God gets two of these together, my God, you have the strength of a young man and you have the wisdom of an elderly man. What God can do, he can change and build and work and do mighty things through that. It says, "The work is great, for the palace is not for a man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for brass the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood. Iron, ox, stones, stones to be set, glistering stones in diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Verse 4, "Even 3,000 talents of gold and of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for the things of silver, and all for the manner of work is to be made by the hands of the welcome to church. I can do that with her. She, your grandbaby's okay?
Her daddy just came in.
Oh, shit. You're excused. Thank you. Amen. Oh, gosh. You missed a mighty move of God. But that's okay. The Spirit of God is lingering. It's untouching. Amen. Amen. It's good to have her here. "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Here we see King David. God had commissioned King David to get all the materials needed to build the temple. Because you see, God had instructed David to get it built. But God said David wouldn't be the one that would build it because of certain things that we don't have time to get into. But David wasn't allowed to build it. But God told David to go and get all the material. And that's what he did. He got all the material to help his son Solomon build the temple. And it says that David even gave of his own stuff, his own precious stones, things that he had, he gave to the house of God so that it could be built the way that God had instructed him to build it. King David got all the materials and he helped his son Solomon, who had to build it. It says that when the building was finished, and we know certain things about the building, that there was the most holy of holies, that's where God was, in the holy place, and he just kept the outer courts. But in the most holy of holies, it says that there was an Ark of the Covenant that was put in there. And we know in the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things in there. What? The tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. What else? Aaron's what? Rod. And what else? Manna, a jar of manna. Now, That's an amazing thing. Remember, it's called an Ark of the Covenant. Who is the covenant with? It's a covenant between who? God and man. That was the symbol of it. His commandments that he gave in the Old Testament to the people, how he supplied for them angel food, it was called, you know, manna for them in the desert. How, you know, he even, you know, had Aaron's rod that he had in there. It's an amazing thing, just a bar side. It's an amazing thing that in the hands of man, after God miraculously gave the manna to them every day, when it got into the hands of man, that manna wouldn't last more than 2 days. You know, he'd say, you know, pick up enough for just that day till the Sabbath. Then you'd pick up twice as much. So in the hands of man, that manna only lasted up to 2 days. But in the hands of God, the manna lasted forever in the Ark of the Covenant. In the hands of God, he makes things last forever. In the hands of God, he changes things. In the hands of God, he changes our hearts and our lives. In the hands of God, God can make things work like they've never worked before. In the hands of God, he changes things. That's why it's so important to lay down our lives before him. Because in the hands of God, he can make us into something. Make us worth something in the hands of God. But it says that those three things were in that Ark of the Covenant. And every year, in the Old Testament, every year the priest would take the blood of a lamb, and he had to go into the most holy of holies. That means he was visited only once a year by man. Once. Now God was in there. The Spirit of God was there. In that place upon the earth. In that most holy of holies place. And it says that man, the priest, would go in with the blood. And the Ark of the Covenant was set. And it wasn't big, you know. And he would take the blood of that lamb, or take the blood, and he would take it and smear it all on top of the Ark of the Covenant. He just didn't take his finger and do like that. It says that he would take that blood. I don't know if he'd pour it all on there and smear it on top. We know the whole thing was overlaid with gold. We know that. Because you see, you might say, well, why would he put blood? Because of the awfulness of sin. That's why. He would take that blood and he'd smear it all over, cover it completely. Because you see, the covenant between God and man could not be broken. And so God could bless the children of Israel as he would look upon that covenant, which represented the jar of manna, which represented the Ten Commandments, tablets of stone, and Aaron's rod. Those things represented man, the man things that he would provide for them. And he would look through the top of that Ark of that covenant with the blood smeared over it and saying, I still can bless them. I still can bless them. How important it is for the blood of Jesus. Now, today that's done away with. They don't even know where the Ark of the Covenant is anymore. They don't know. Some people think this or that, but they just don't know where it's at. But you see, a new covenant has been made. You see, there's a reason why. If we would find that Ark of the Covenant, my God, it would become a god to everybody. Everybody would want a little sliver of the gold on top, and they would put it in a frame, and they'd bow down and worship the gold that's on it. I mean, it's an amazing thing. That's how we are. We're looking for our God, you know. And we know God says, do not bow down before anything, any graven image or anything like that. And we know that. But you see, there's a reason why we can't find it. Now the covenant is Jesus died on the cross and his blood is now between us and God. And now God, a new covenant has been made. And now Jesus, our God the Father, can look down to his creation through the blood of Jesus and bless us. His blood takes away sin. You know, really, I don't think we realize how gory, you know, sin really is. We wonder, well, you know, Jesus, man, he had to die an awful death. I mean, my God. I mean, they tortured him and just, I mean, he was unrecognizable. His face, his head, his body, of all the things that they did to him. He had to pay that penalty because of what sin is to God. It's a horrible thing. And so because of how horrible it is, the price had to be paid to cover that sin. And God now is in heaven as he has the blood of Jesus. And now we can go before our Father when something is on our hearts and we know we've messed up and we've done, said things, whatever actions. And we can go to him and we don't have to take a lamb and slaughter it and take the blood. We don't have to do all those things. We don't have to fast to have forgiveness of sin. We don't have to read our Bibles to have forgiveness of sin. We don't have to get on our knees to have forgiveness of sins. We don't even have to go to church to have forgiveness of sins. I mean, all the religious things, you know, and all those things are good. And we need to fast and we need to pray. We need to read our Bibles because God says, but now, all we have to do is from our hearts is just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Oh, Father, forgive me. And it says that he takes it away. And he looks at us from that point on like we've never have ever done that before. That's an amazing thing. In the Old Testament, it just covered the sins of the people so God could bless. In the New Covenant, you know, we have with him, it takes it away like we've never, ever done it before. So don't let the devil hammer you down with things of the past. And don't let yourself hammer you down for the things of the past. Now, people won't forget. We have a good memory. We have a great computer. And we just don't forget. But you see, God says he remembers it no more. No more at all. We can have total forgiveness through his son and through the blood of Jesus. The priest would bring that blood. Now we have Jesus, who is our great high priest. Today we have the blood of Jesus. Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25, Andrew. It says, who was delivered for our offenses, talking about Jesus, and was raised again for our justification. Not just salvation, but for our justification also. Not just when we personally accepted him as Lord. Now with the chains of bondage, God can break all those things that are holding us back from becoming what he wants us to be. Who has delivered for our offenses, everything, that's Jesus, and was raised again for your justification. Was raised again for you. For you. Not for him, but for us today. You know, I heard somebody say this, justification means just as if you never sinned. And that's good. That's good. He raised us again for our justification. Andrew, put 1 John 1:7. that which was from the beginning, that's 1:7, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Is that verse? Go to verse 7. 1:7. Okay. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Everything, guys. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the answer. When Jesus paid that price, the blood of Jesus is the answer. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By the blood, we have the boldness to go in to the most holy of holies, to go in and to reach him by the blood of Jesus. That it's him and him only. See, we need to know where we stand with God. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we accepted him. He's in our hearts. He lives in us. And yes, we know that things are going to happen in our hearts and in our lives in life. We know things are going to happen. We know now that we can go to him boldly before his throne. That means to go to him, not with arrogance and pride and say, hey, I'm here. You know, God, forget everybody else. I'm here. Just listen to me. No. But to go with boldness, saying, I have an assurance in my God that he is waiting for me, that he's going to forgive me for all the things I've said and done today, that we can go before him and God will cleanse our hearts and cleanse our souls because of his love for us, that we have the boldness to go before him. In Matthew chapter 11, look at starting with verse 28, Matthew chapter 11. We have to know where we've come from and we have to know where we're going. If we know who we are in Christ, well, we know that we can go before him at any time with anything. Look at verse 28 of chapter 11. It says, now Jesus is saying that, and he's saying it to the Israelites, to the people there, but also it can be referred unto us. It says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said unto us, he's saying, come to me. How many times do we go through things and the last person we go to is God? We get on the phone and we call everybody in the book. And there's nothing wrong with calling if you feel that's what you need, you know. But you know what? These people around about you can't do anything, really. Now, they can believe with you and pray with you and see God move, you know. And there's nothing wrong with having help. It's nothing wrong with having friends and family and your pastors and all that stuff to help. But I tell you what, we need to go to him first. Jesus paid the price with his blood. We have the boldness to go before him. God says, come unto me. Come to me. It's an open invitation for the children of God. It's an open invitation to you and I. He's saying, come. Come to me. Come to me with anything and everything that weighs you down. Come to me with your joy. Come to me with your sorrow. Come to me. Because you see, honestly, most of the time, he's the only one that can answer or relieve that problem. He's the only one and the only thing. He's the only one and the only thing. But he's saying, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Now, We all labor for the things of God. But sometimes we get kind of burdened down sometimes. We need to let Jesus carry the weight. Let Him carry it. They say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Just give it to Him. See, I can't give your problem to Him. I can't give your burden to Him. But I can give Him mine. And you can give Him yours. He's saying, come to Me. Come to Me. He's an open invitation. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and there's a promise, I will give you rest. He didn't say, come to Me, and I might give you rest. He didn't say, come to Me and give it to Me, and we'll see what happens. It's a question, maybe. It's set in stone. He says, I will give you the rest you need. I will give you, if you want to put it this way, the relief you need. I will give you the relief of that problem coming to Me. I will relieve you, and I will carry it. And that, can you imagine if you were carrying a bunch of bags of groceries? Like, let's say you had 4 or 5 bags and you're carrying them, you know, the brown paper bags, you know. And all of a sudden somebody comes and says, let me take 2 or 3 of them from you. It's like, oh, well, that helps you. But if you're carrying it all yourself, trying to get it in your house, you can't open the door and carry all these bags. But if they take 3 or 4 of them, or whatever amount they take, it relieves the weight on you, on your arms. And so you're able to get in more freely because of the help. That's the kind of God we serve. He's saying, give Me your problem. Give Me your situation. Let me, you're going to see Me move when you give it to Me. You're going to see Me move on your behalf. We're going to see the power of God move. And it says this in verse 29. Take My yoke upon you. Now, wait. This does not make sense. He's saying, give Me your problem. But He's saying, now look, take My yoke. That means what? I'm to take His yoke? Well, I thought I was getting rid of some. Now He wants me to take up more? What it is He wants us to do what He wants. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Our yokes are heavy and very weighty and destroys us. But His yoke, what He has for us and what He wants us to do as we keep our eyes upon Him is light. And He gives rest to the soul. Rest to the soul. You want to know why many people burn out, they call it? You hear Christians say, I'm burn out? It's because they carry the yoke and the weight of the world. Because I know my God doesn't do that. If we carry the yoke of Him, we will never burn out. We will never go astray. We will never be heavy laden. But if we carry our yoke, we will be heavy laden. We won't have rest. And so we need to carry the yoke of our Father as He gives us the rest that we need. It says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Letting God work in you and through you. Letting God work in us and through us. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. One another amazing thing, and I know of verse 29, it says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the only thing God, Jesus said about Himself in Scripture. I am meek and lowly in heart about Himself personally. Amazing, amazing. We need to carry the yoke of our Father, letting Him move and work in our hearts. The power of Satan is out there, guys. With the child of God, though, the powers of Satan become lifeless and helpless as we trust in him. You might say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, from Scripture, we can see that that's truth. When Moses went to Pharaoh, we know God had to do a mighty work in Moses. You know, he had murdered somebody and took off and whatever. And he had the burning bush experience and all that stuff. And he comes back to Pharaoh. And he looks at Pharaoh. Moses comes back an older man with a lot of wisdom now, or more wisdom. And it says that Moses looked at Pharaoh as he walked in with that staff. And he said to him, "Let my people go." And you know, Pharaoh looks at him and you know, maybe the scripture doesn't say everything, but we know that basically probably Pharaoh kind of laughed. You never know what happened, basically. But it says the magicians came and boy, they threw their staffs down, you know, and they all turned into snakes. And the Holy Spirit or God the Father, they told Moses, "Throw yours down." And Moses threw down his staff. And it says that his staff ate up all the others. Now, what's an amazing thing is this. The Egyptians worshipped snakes, cobras. And the Egyptian Pharaoh's headdress were two cobras, snakes, ready to bite. When Moses' staff ate up all of the magicians, or his snake ate up all the snakes of the other ones, it put a doubt in Pharaoh, saying, "What's going on? We know what's going on. Our God reigns. Our God is the God that said, 'Let my people go.'" And Pharaoh, you know, we know, didn't want and after a while let them go. But you see, God can change all circumstances. And you know, and another amazing thing is this. God told Moses, "Pick up your staff," which was still a snake. Has anyone ever picked up a snake? Okay, most of us just take shovels and kill them. That's what I do. We make sure any little movement, we hit them again. We hit them again and we hit them again. Do you ever pick up a snake at the tail? Well, you know, watching, you know, nature shows and all this stuff. When you go to pick up a snake, you always pick up a snake from on the back of the head. You pick it up there so that when you pick it up, the fangs can't bite you. They can't do it. It can't happen. When God told Moses, "Pick up your staff," which was still a snake, he picked it up, it says in Scripture, at the tail, the most vulnerable place. God will put us in places where we are vulnerable. He will put us in places that are difficult. And sometimes he'll make us look at things and say, "Pick it up by the tail," which is the most vulnerable place because it'll whip around and bite you. But when God says something, that's law. When God says something, that's the way we're to do it. When God says something, that's what we have to do. And when he picked it up, it became a staff again unto him. Now in the Old Testament, the men of old always, basically, their staff was almost like their Bibles. And what they would do is, they would mark down like the births of their children. They would mark down things on it. Every time a great event happened, could be wars, could be famines, could be the mighty move of God, all those things. When Moses threw down his rod, as God said, Moses was throwing down his life for the cause of Christ. When God told Moses to throw, because he didn't have to, or put it down on the ground. He didn't have to. You know, we have a choice. You know, I'll wake up tomorrow morning, I don't have to serve God. You either. But we choose to serve Him. When God told Moses to throw down his staff, and he did it in obedience, he was throwing down his life, his rod. And when he picked it up, it was God's rod. Because you can look in Scripture, right after he picked it up, it was never referred to Moses' rod ever again. It was always referred to as God's rod. When we throw down our lives before God and we let God move in our hearts and move in our lives, He will change us. We will not be our old self again, but we will be new men, new women for the things of God. Letting God move within our hearts. And yes, we may go through difficult times. We may go through or be in vulnerable places. But you know what? It's in those places that we can see the hand of God move on our behalf. My God! It's in those places where we see God open that Red Sea. Can you imagine if they would have praised God before they went on dry ground and walked over? Can you imagine if just as they worshipped Him on the other side of the Red Sea, what if they would have worshipped Him like that before? People, we may go through things, but let's worship Him like He's the great God Jehovah that we serve. Let's worship Him as we walk through the Red Sea. Let's worship Him when we get to the other side. Let's not just worship Him when we see the hand of God move and we see a mighty move of God. Let's worship Him before, in the middle, and after. And we will see what God can do through us and in us. We will see what God can do in our church, in our people, in our community like we've never seen before. The power of God, the presence of God, seeking Him and honoring Him with our lives. Throw down your life and let God raise you up. I need mighty men and women of God to take this place for the kingdom of God. Not to be full of ourselves, but full of the presence of God. Letting God move through our minds and hearts that we can be His hands and His feet to touch this community for God. In whatever way, the presence of God to be evident in our hearts and in our lives. Throw your life down and say, Father, I'm tired of living my own life, even as a Christian. From this day forward, Father, I want to live for You. From this day forward, Father, I want to take those things away that are holding me down, Lord God. Take those things out of me, Lord God. You might say, well, Pastor, how do you do it? Faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. Faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. Lay your life down. Don't be a mediocre Christian that we believe whatever comes about. No, that we're sold upon the Word of God. We know what the Word says. Sold upon what the foundation of the Scriptures are. And we know the Scriptures. Sold out to the kingdom of God. Sold out to our God. That we will do whatever it takes. We will do whatever it takes. Many pastors are in other countries that are in prison because of their belief in God Jehovah. Many people, just in general, Christians are in jail because of their beliefs in other countries. Ask God to put a boldness in your life, a boldness in your pastor, a boldness in our church, that we will stand no matter what, no matter what comes our way, that we will be Christians that will stand for the truth and will live a life that is truthful unto our God. Continuously, not just one day and maybe not the next and never the other day, but every day standing up as Paul stood up, even when he had to stand before Peter and say, it's not truth. Can you imagine that? Paul, not even one of the disciples, goes up to Peter because of some dealings he did. And he stood him face to face. Standing up for truth, people. Standing up for truth. My God, we don't know when God's coming. It could be 100 years from now. I don't know how we're going to last, but it could be. But you know what? Our God's coming. Our God's coming. The truth of the gospel needs to spread through His people and to touch this world for the kingdom. Stand for truth. Stand on the word of God. Stand for what God has put in your heart and in your life. Don't say, well, you know, this doesn't matter or this doesn't matter. But stand up for what is right. And let the power of God flow through your life. Read the scriptures. Get it in your spirit. As we read the scriptures, I know I said this last week. We take on the mind of Christ as we read and as we pray. God can work by His Holy Spirit to get things in us and through us. Every one of those disciples God used, some more than others. However, it doesn't matter. And I know every one of us here has a desire for God. You wouldn't be here today. Has a desire for God. Some of you, God has called you to preach, and you're still not doing it. Come on now. You might say, well, I'm not ready. Who's ready? Who's ready? God has called us to do a lot of things, people. We need to get on board and say, Father, okay, from this day forward, let's get the job done. Let's get the job. There's souls that are split in hell wide open every hour upon the hour, every minute of the day. And we need to try. We need to try. Let's be stop signs at the cliff. Stop on one side, turn around and say, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You might say, well, Pastor, some people just don't want to listen. That's okay. I understand. Some don't want to listen. But stand up for truth. Stand up for what is right. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in you so that when you speak the word, that the Holy Spirit takes that word and penetrates the hearts of the people. We don't know with Paul. He had a great conversion, you know, on the Damascus Road. We don't know how many times somebody tried to tell him something. Scripture doesn't say. But I know somebody must have tried. He was well known because he persecuted Christians. He was well known because he took Christians out of their homes, mothers, fathers, children, and killed them. Did all kinds of things. But yet, this guy, God used to write, can you imagine, 13 books of the New Testament. 13 books. Don't ever think that God doesn't want to use you. Just as He used Moses, Joshua, all these people, Abraham, Noah, all these people, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Let God be God in your life. Be sold out to Him and the things of Him. Let God move in your heart like He's never moved before. Let God be God. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you for your attentiveness.